really didn't know what I was in for. And I was there with about 30 high school students who were doing, I remember there was something meaningful their parents thought they were paying for, but really it was Disney World. And many of them, this was in Alexandria, so you know, a lot of them had been to Disney World many times. They had like their favorite place to eat for their favorite ride. And these are clear, I was going with people that had never been to Disney World. Number two, at the beginning of the week, I was still thinking this was a great deal, so stay with me. So, teenagers in that kind of environment, if you want to know what that's like, if you've never really chaperoned, just think of like a nature show on television in mating season. Where it's a quiet person kind of giving commentary as to what you're watching, and it's a little bit awkward. That's kind of what a spring break trip in Orlando looked like. But here's what I'll never forget. How many of you have been to Disney World? Disneyland, Universal? Okay, good. That's that. So when I arrived to, you arrive at Disney World. I did a little reading, because I'm kind of that way, about Walt Disney. And what he was trying to create of this magic kingdom. But as soon as I arrived there, some happy elf or dwarf or something runs up to me and welcomes me to the magic kingdom. I thought it was in Orlando, but it turns out I had stepped into the kingdom. And the elf or the gnome or whatever they were pointed to the line that I crossed, and there is a line. So I crossed the line, and he had a button, and it said, Citizen of the Kingdom. You know, I'm doing what I do for a living. I found that interesting. So we didn't walk across the grass, and I made myself a meeting point with teenagers. This is what you have to do. Like, meet here at noon to check in and go off and just don't get arrested or anything, but meet back here in a few hours. I was hoping I was going to enjoy my trip. That ended soon. So they went off. Among the citizens, you know, where all the royals are all dressed up, and they all have buttons on that say Citizen of the Kingdom. And about an hour went by, and I had gotten some food, and I didn't really ride roller coasters, so that was fine. And I had to go to the bathroom, and I thought, let me do that before I go meet the kids. So I woke up to Cinderella's sister or something, kind of grumpy citizen, and I said, I'm going to the bathroom. She said, you're looking for Town Hall. And she points at this enormous thing called, and it has a big sign, Town Hall in the Magic Kingdom. And I was like, I said, I'm looking for a bathroom. Is there a bathroom? She was like, go forth to Town Hall. So as I go walking toward Town Hall, I keep thinking, what's a Town Hall in the Magic Kingdom? Because this is not a real place. Cinderella's sister-in-law, wherever you are. And when I go in the building, the whole building is bathrooms. It's a bathroom building. But they call it Town Hall, because no one wants to go to the bathroom building. So I go in looking for where the bathrooms are, and I ask someone, he's like, it's all bathrooms. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't come out, and I went and throw something away. I had a little paper towel in my hand, and I said, where's the trash can? I didn't see a trash can, and some mouse, not Mickey, there are others who knew, says, use the mailbox. And it turns out they don't have trash cans, they're all mailboxes. And I was like, what do I do with the trash? He's like, put it in the mailbox. I'm like, in the mailbox. So I go, okay, in the mailbox, and people get it actually is trash. So after I put, I guess, mail my trash, I then turn around and realize that the grass is so green in Disney World. But as I'm walking back to the meeting point, which is me, I realize this grass is plastic. This is not real grass. That's why it's so green. That's why you can't wear it out. All of a sudden, I started to feel like it was a little weird, and then people kept coming up to me with a button that said Citizen of the Kingdom, asking me how things were going. What's my name? I finally just kind of responded a little bit. I was just like, sir, dwarf, whatever. That trash can is trash. That's not a mailbox. That's not a town hall. And this grass is not grass. And the guy just sort of smiled and just danced away. And had this look like feeling bad for me that I wasn't taking part. I went home and did some reading. 71 cents of every dollar spent in Disney World is charged to a credit card. So 71% of the spending is just being charged. If you don't know this, there's an elaborate tunnel system underneath Disney World. All the trash cans are connected to a chute, so they never overflow. Because the trash goes in, it's sucked right down into an underground trash system. So there's never trash coming out of a mailbox. People who work for Disney World, 85% are people of color. They travel around the park underground. They are not allowed to walk through the park. The only people you see in the park are people who can afford to be in the park. Everyone else is moving underground and showing up their shift. They come up from underground, and when the Latino or the African American or the Caribbean, whoever person it is, has to move, because remember, almost 90% of people, they go underground and go across the park and come up to the next place. So you don't see anyone who isn't there as a customer, ever. I don't need to tell you how the wage situation is for people who work at Disney World. There's constantly wage battles and fights. The more I learned about Disney World, and look, I'm right here. Some of you are just like saving up for the big Disney World trip. Stay with me. I'm not here to stamp on all that. What I am saying is there are two kinds of people who go to Disney World. There are people who can be in and not of Disney World. People who can go and enjoy it for what it is, but see the reality. The financial reality, the emotional reality. There are chaplains, by the way, that work in Disney World. There are people that have serious health issues while they're there. But that is, again, it's taking, you go underground. That's why you never see ambulances going through Disney World, because there are roads underground in Disney World. No site is going to change your experience of listening. It's a completely closed system. I then read that if you ever go to Disney World, there's never a sign that says welcome to Florida. There's never a sign that says welcome to Orlando, because it was Walt Disney himself who said, the second they cross the line, they want them to know they are in the only world that's real. I want no intrusion into this world, because we can control this world. We can't control that one, but we want people to come here, because whether they know it or not, they're in a place where people control the world. They control what you see. Smiles, faces, everything, smiling. Citizens of the King, citizen, think of that word. You can't help but think you're in a real place. So why did I decide to come this morning and tell you that story? With the readings that we have, we'll go to the letter to Timothy, where Timothy says, remember the scriptures, remember who you are. This is God talking to you, talking to us. Remember those stories, because you live in an anxious age. People with itching ears, who when they move away from who they really are, people of prayer and hope and faith, we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. That every kingdom of this world will pass away. It doesn't mean they don't matter. It means they don't own you. Most people leave Disney World in debt. That's what that letter is saying. That you're going to live in a world where people can create their ownness and their own teaching. They create a world where you are safe, whatever that means. There are people who look different than you. There are people who have less money than you or more money than you. It's the ultimate gated community. Not to create community. There's nothing wrong with it. Like a gate that creates a community, like the front door of your house. But is everyone invited? Or as Walt Disney said, never mention anything outside so people think someone has control of this. I get that. I want to have control. I drove here when I was in this morning. I want to have a little more control with the garage on the street than I did. But do I want to seal off reality to create a place where I am a king or queen of the kingdom? And I don't see trash. I don't see labor issues. I don't see injustice, inequality. None of it. I just want to smile while I'm in front of it. I came home feeling like it's a version of Disney World that is a little bit like America. Where we all live. In a sense, we do believe that there's America is this place that's its own kingdom. And we're trying to find ways, each one of us, I confess myself, I do too, ways to kind of have the trash be sucked out of our way. And I certainly, every time I roll my recycling bin and put it on the curb, I feel so proud of myself. Because I recycle. And then when I drive the neighborhood, I see everyone has a recycling bin and a trash bin that's overflowing. Does that make sense? Where's all that going? I don't know, I'm just proud that I got out on the curb on the right day, especially when there's like, Columbus Day, I'm proud of myself that I'm like getting it right. Where's that going? I don't know, but that's the same thing as dropping it, letting it be sucked, and it'll be someone else's yard, not mine. So I think we all have ways that we fall into the kingdom. But the readings this morning, and your stewardship season, stay with me, is your way out. breaking out. Because there's no freedom of being 71% in debt from the things that you did. There's also no freedom in cutting yourself off from how other people are actually living either. You're not safer. You're more alone. So the challenge we get in the gospel, we have this ruler who is the, I mean, is he not the king of Disney World? He doesn't care about justice. The story says it. He doesn't care about justice. He doesn't believe in God. But he's got this woman that keeps coming persistently in prayer. Now remember the reading from Timothy, and remember the reading that we had about Jacob. People who continue to wrestle, even with God in their faith, to not give up. So Jacob doesn't give up. He lives the rest of his life. His encounter with God has so many questions like yours probably does. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why am I sick? Why is my granddaughter sick? Why has someone lost their job? That's the kind of wrestling we see with Jacob. With God, not wrestling with an enemy. With God, because our questions are so deep and we're so wired for joy by God. When we don't experience it, we're angry or sad. So there's that struggle in the first reading. And then we get the same struggle in the second reading. This woman knows she's going to a judge who doesn't believe in justice. But she doesn't quit. She doesn't accept that she's a citizen of his kingdom. She arrives again and again and again to say, I know what kingdom I'm a citizen of. And in this, we pray. And I will appeal because God is above you, beyond you. And any power you have, as Jesus said to Pilate, comes to you from God, whether you footnote it or not. So we have these readings that are meant for you and for me to live in Disney World. The way out is to remember the scriptures. Remember to pray. You are not just consumers. You are disciples who consume. I actually kind of like Amazon Prime. I show a little less and put a little more. But I don't want to get lost in that. And I don't want to belong to that kingdom. Stewardship is this funny word. It sounds like you have to take a shift babysitting something. You know, or it's your job to pay for like an 8 by 8 foot section of that wall and keep it heated or air conditioned. Okay, if you want to think of it like that, that's fine. If you want to say it's a math thing, like just get all your income, you're supposed to take 10% and give it away. My friends, if that's the way you think about stewardship, it's either going to be ineffective or painful for all of you. Like flossing. I hate flossing, but I'm supposed to do it. I don't do it much. Every time I go to my dentist and I'm living in our place, she's like, wow, what's flossing impossible? I don't know, you were there. Even know how much you give. Can we just be honest? If that's where you are, everything I'm saying is not really related to that for you. What I'm saying is, God doesn't need your money. I still don't need your money because I'm going to get in the car and drive back to Alexandria, so I'm not making a plea for a plate for me to take with me. I get no commission off this. What I know, having just filled out the pledge card for my parish in Alexandria, is that is freedom. That is why I say, I have found a way to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. God doesn't need my money. God knows that my money could drown me, that I don't need an amount. But worrying about it, thinking about it, think of King Solomon in Ecclesiastes, where the wealthiest king in all of history says, I have wives, I have sheep, I have gold, and it's worth nothing. I can be as lonely as anyone else, as angry as everyone else, and I will die. And he says, everything I have, I either have to defend or give to someone who will then have to defend it. Very depressing. If you're not wealthy and mad about it, don't read Solomon, you'll feel much better. According to him, it's a big headache. But there's a reason for that. And when you give to the church, remember, don't think of it as you have something and you're giving. This isn't charity, it's freedom. It's your acting on the fact that you are a part of the kingdom of God, which will last beyond this building, the light fixture, the cemetery, all of it. Join that kingdom. Take money that is holding you in anxiety and let go of it. I don't give because the church needs my money. I give because I need a real action, ritual giving. Because I want to be free. I don't want to be trapped in the magic kingdom. Stewardship is a way out of being owned by what you have. And a way of singing and giving. giving. The psalm, the first time we just read, I look up to the hills. In other words, look up, whatever kingdom is holding you. Insecurity, financial insecurity, job insecurity, relationship insecurity, health insecurity. Look up to the hills. Where St. Paul says, even the mountains declare the glory of God. Remember who you are, whose you are. You do not belong to the world. And when you give, you are just stepping into your life in something that gives life. The church is in the building is the body of Christ. Add your life into that life. And don't ask how much you should give. Ask how much of what God has given you you need to keep. That's the question. How much? Your God knows what you need. Take everything you need. And everything else is your path to freedom. Welcome to Christ's kingdom. Here, coffee hour, parking lot. You are not someone with a button on. Your bathrooms are actually called bathrooms. Give because your freedom is at stake, not this building.